Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today my guest is Brandon Aversano, and he is the CEO and founder over at Alloy. Brandon, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Adam.
All right, Brandon, so I understand that you referred to us over from Linda Lai, so big shout out to her for bringing on a great guest, and I'm excited to get more into Alloy and also, you know, the work that you're doing. But before we do that, we'll start this episode the way we start them all, with what we like to call our Mission Matters Minute. So Brandon, at Mission Matters, our goal is to amplify stories for entrepreneurs and executives and experts. Brandon, what mission matters to you?
I am on a mission, Adam, to disrupt and change how people exchange their gold and other jewelry. That is what my mission is, to make sure that folks in vulnerable positions are no longer being taken advantage of and being predated upon.
And I think, like, just let's just dive right in. So Alloy, like, what inspired you to start this company?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Adam. It's a bit personal, actually. So I was working at JPMorgan Chase in their co-branded credit card portfolio space when I was unexpectedly diagnosed with testicular cancer about 2 years ago. And that was a huge surprise as a 30-year-old to, you know, get that diagnosis, to start considering your mortality at that age. And I had to take disability ultimately to kind of go through my treatment journey. And while I was on my treatment journey, my medical bills started to skyrocket. And so I actually attempted to sell some of the gold jewelry that I had inherited from my grandmother, who had passed about a year prior to that. And Adam, the experience was horrific. I was living in Center City, Philadelphia at the time. I took some bracelets and some rings to some jewelers and pawn shops in the city, and I was offered 10 to 20 cents on the dollar. Needless to say, I did not end up selling those items, but I thought to myself, there must be an online option for this, because there's an online option for everything these days. And what
I
found—
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I would think the same thing, Brandon. I was like, oh, well, wait a minute. I'm going to go online and I'm going to sell it there and see what happens. Yeah, that's good. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, there you go. So that's what I did. I kind of followed the same logic. And what I found, sadly, was that the sort of online options, and no one in particular, but they really feel and operate and felt like digital equivalents of the brick and mortar pawn shops. And so I had a big realization in that moment, Adam, and that was, if I'm being taken advantage of in my kind of most vulnerable moment that I've experienced yet in my, you know, short 30 years, then I am very positive that other people are definitely also being taken advantage of. And so I am on a mission to change that. So I took a step back and decided to start Alloy, which is the easiest to use, highest paying, and most transparent platform through which the everyday consumer like you and me can exchange their gold for fair and honest prices. And since then, we've been catering to thousands of customers, gotten some amazing press for what we're doing, and we are a mission-driven organization. So that's a little bit about me and Alloy.
Wow, what an amazing journey. And I always love when somebody, you know, they have a problem or they have an issue, and then they find a solution, and then they take that solution to market and attempt to help others. So I think it's a great story. It's one that I love to bring to our listeners. But I do want to educate, educate me a little bit more on the industry and jewelry industry in general. Like, as you started doing your research and putting together some of this, obviously pulling together Alloy, like, did some of the things you found surprise you, or?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think the thing that surprised me the most was that there's no kind of collective or shared understanding of what this industry even is. So often I'll talk to folks.
That's interesting.
They'll say, like, what industry are you in? And I kind of turn it on them, like, what industry do you think I'm in? And the reason I think it's funny, and not funny, actually, is I think it's intentional, the reason why nobody can speak about what we're doing as an industry. Because I think once you can nail something down and understand it, then you can really understand kind of the value proposition of it. And I think if folks understood, for lack of a better phrase, the cash for gold industry, they would be horrified. And so, you know, that just came as a huge surprise to me that this doesn't even fall squarely, you know, within one industry. But just in terms of like a quick bit of education, our industry is pretty straightforward in the sense that we operate on spot pricing. And so, you know, if you were to Google what is the price of gold right now, it's actually record high today. It's over $2,100 per ounce of pure gold. The spot price is what every gold buyer will base their offers off of. And that changes dynamically on a daily basis. And everybody uses, you know, the most part, the same kind of universally accepted number. And so you can comfortably expect to receive about 20 to 30 cents on the dollar against spot price at a pawn shop or like a cash for gold store. Whereas with an organization like Alloy, for example, you're guaranteed a minimum of 75% on the dollar all the way up to 95%. So it's just a totally kind of different value proposition, even though we're operating on the same kind of commodity pricing.
And correct me if I'm wrong, based on the idea that like pawn shops and other things like that, I mean, it's very fragmented. So when you create this type of exchange, there's more competition for the gold, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know,
is that what brings the price up so that you're able to pay a little bit more? Or like, I'm just curious on how that piece of it works, because it's super smart. And I'm surprised I've never heard of anything like this before. I'm like, oh, when you explain it to me, I'm like, duh, I'm glad you created Alloy. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I can't give away all our secrets, but one thing I will say is that we have a significantly lower cost structure than brick and mortar pawn shops. We don't operate any retail stores, so we don't have any overhead like that. Mm-hmm. And we also have very, very deep and close relationships with very large precious metal refineries in the United States that allows us to offer significantly higher. And you know, the other piece of this, Adam, is that for a very long time, this fragmented industry has just gone unchecked. And so that's another reason. There was no motivation for the players in the industry to pay more. Well, why? Mm-hmm. They were making a huge margin and nobody was paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because this isn't like when I think about, I'm not saying that, you know, the gold industry relates to this, but when I, in my mind, what I connected to is maybe some like the lending stuff, like the predatory lending or other things like that. I wouldn't use the word predatory necessarily in this situation, but I just mean maybe, I don't know, depending on the particular shop, right? But that being said, but unlike that this piece of it wouldn't be regulated. Or correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know. I'm guessing here because I'm just thinking about like lending, like the payday loan shops or things like that. There's only so much interest they can charge to maybe an unsophisticated investor, right? Or unsophisticated financially, I mean, individual that comes in, signs up for a loan. Maybe they didn't know or didn't exactly know what APR was or this or that, but they just needed the money. So they, you know, they signed their name on the dotted line and they were able to fix their car and they could get to work the next day. And that's what mattered at that moment, regardless of whatever that number next to the APR was. So in this case, especially for that type of individual that maybe is in that situation, or really, you know, that becomes interesting as well, because that's, and am I wrong on that regulation part? And if you don't know, it's okay. I'm not asking you to overstep on your knowledge of loans and stuff. I just mean, regulated is my point. Am I off?
No, you are correct. It is definitely not regulated anywhere near like lending laws are.
Yeah.
You could essentially pay someone 1 cent for, you know, $1,000 gold bracelet, and that's A-okay if they accept it, which is a problem.
Yeah, I get that. Tell me about your plans on like how to continue to scale this. And I know you've got many clients already, many people on the exchange already. Tell me about some of your plans and how you scale this and roll it out and continue growing it.
Yeah, it's a great question. So, you know, over the last 6 months to a year, we've been talking to tons of customers, listening to their feedback, optimizing and perfecting the product. And we're really kind of getting to a place where our team feels good about the product that is out there and that we're offering. We're going to double down on that direct-to-consumer model because it's working quite well. And then we're also going to start pushing forward on some B2B partnerships. So I can't share any in particular, but you
man,
can.
Man, Brandon, you're giving me all these can't shares. I can't share this. I can't share our secret sauce. I can't share how we make the cake. I can't share the recipe. What do you, come on, man. No, I'm just messing with you. I understand.
Oh, man. I wish. If this were only a month later, I would say. I'm like, no, but you know, just companies like jewelers, retailers, those types of organizations. So we're really going to be, you know, partnering with others, which we're very excited about.
Yeah, that is exciting. And have you always been an entrepreneur? Or I know you mentioned you had some finance background as well, I believe. Have you always been in the entrepreneurial space? Or
No, I've been in the corporate world since I graduated from school. Yeah, I was at, started in management.
How does this feel coming out to like launching that? So if this is your first endeavor in the entrepreneurial space, how does it feel, man?
Well, the honest answer would be I'm exhausted. No,
yeah, we do honesty on this podcast. Don't worry. Yeah. I'm exhausted too, man. I was at an event pretty late yesterday, our very first monthly Orange County mixer. So I was out there way past my bedtime, but go ahead. I'm tired too. It's okay.
No, in all seriousness, I think, the feeling that I have on a daily basis is gratitude. I am just so thankful that I'm able to, that I'm alive, that I'm able to do this, that I'm able to help others, that I'm able to do what I'm passionate about and work with amazing, smart, totally wildly capable people. And so, you know, as exhausting and tiring as it is, and is, as you know, it is a long journey from idea to market to, you know, whatever, but yeah, every day I wake up feeling just overall grateful for what we're able to accomplish together.
Yeah, it's different. I can tell you on my end, I was in the finance industry for, I don't know, 14 years or so before I've been in media now full time for 8 years. But this is Mission Matters is really my first significant like entrepreneurial endeavor now. And again, been around for 8 years. But I think about like when I was transitioning from corporate to entrepreneurship, and I was like, oh my gosh, I thought I knew what I was doing. I thought I knew all these other things. And I'm like, wait a minute, people don't just take care. Oh, I have to figure that out. I have to. Oh, that's on me actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
I asked this question, not necessarily that you have to relate it directly to Alloy by any means, but I just asked this question because I know like we have a huge audience of entrepreneurs, but also executives and people in the corporate America space. So whenever I get somebody on the line like yourself who went from corporate America to entrepreneurship, it's always fun to have this discussion. What's been one of your favorite things of like the transition? Like what's been pleasantly surprising to you on this mission?
Oh, I mean, in addition to, you know, the hypothesis of Alloy and that kind of, from an entrepreneurship perspective, from like a transition from corporate to being, you know, a founder, I really love being in control of my own time. I mean, don't get me wrong.
You work more. So instead of working 70 hours, you're working 90 now. I understand. Correct. Go ahead.
Yeah, you are 100. I don't even have to finish my comment, but at least I feel like I'm in control of that, you know?
Yeah. So I think it's fun. Anyway, whenever anybody asks me like going from this to that, I always say, don't do it because I don't want to be the guy that told you to do it. So don't do it. Keep your job. Okay. And don't ever come back to me or write me an email saying I told you to do it. But if you choose to, you may find some rewards there, whether they're monetary, emotional, physical. I mean, there's a lot of different things. Everybody's a little bit different in terms of why they go on this path and why they do what they do. And then also what keeps them in the game. I mean, what when things get, you know, tricky, whether it's those long days or those long whatever it is, like what keeps you in the game?
Oh, my team and our customers. We've just built such an incredible culture here of people who genuinely enjoy working with each other, being around each other, brainstorming with each other. And then, I mean, I wish I could play some of these phone calls from customers who have struggled for so long to find a reputable buyer and someone that they could liquidate their hard-earned assets. And so that's just been incredibly rewarding. So even on the nights where I'm, you know, stuffing appraisal kits by myself in the office till 2 a.m. to get them out, you know, that's kind of what I'm thinking about, where we're legitimately helping people.
So you don't have to be exact on this, but just for example, you used some terms today, like, you know, spot price, and you gave us the number of where the spot's at right now. And then also kind of like the percentage that they'd get if they go to a pawn shop versus this, like, can you maybe just like put a dollar amount on that? Like if you're saying you're bringing X amount or however that part of it works, whether it's weight or otherwise, and it can be a super simple calculation. I just want people to sometimes when they're driving in their car or otherwise, percentages don't always register. You know what I mean? You're like, I got X percent. So it's like saying if you had, you know, $100 versus this or something like that. Like you got a simple example that anybody can understand?
Absolutely. So if you were to send in a $1,000 bracelet, like the total melt value, the spot price value of your bracelet, we would pay you $750. And if you took it to any pawn shop or jewelry store or brick and mortar, anything, they would offer you $200, $200 to $250.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a significant difference. We're going from like 20% to 75%, $200 to $750.
That's significant. And if you think, especially if you think of somebody that's, you know, in significant need, right? And they're in, because normally, like as in your situation, it was, you know, there was a need at that moment. So if you had a need and you did it, like that extra $500 is a big deal. Like that's a big deal.
Yeah. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, Adam, that is it's the fire inside of me. It's what keeps me going. It's the idea that there are people out there today, literally today. And I hate to use this word, but absolutely, you know, and I wish that we could be there to help them. Truly.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your vision for this going forward? Like what? Let's dream for a moment. We're entrepreneurs. Let's dream for a moment. Like my dream is that this podcast would be top 10 out of all podcasts one day. There goes my dream. What's your dream for this?
Yeah. My dream is, you know, Alloy expands, you know, we're able to help more people, but we also start offering, you know, new products and services. So one thing that we're really excited about is we get a lot of really cool pieces in, like a lot of it, sometimes vintage, sometimes new. And we know that while we can, you know, melt them down ultimately and have them be recycled into medical equipment or electric vehicle batteries or whatever, some folks might actually want to purchase some of these pieces. And so we're actually looking to be kind of in the marketplace space. So that's why our full name is Alloy Market. We just go by Alloy right now, but we'll have the marketplace side of things this year.
Oh, that's a cool idea. So especially if somebody's sending in something that because maybe the design's of value or it's vintage or it's historic or it's something else. So then possibly the end consumer may get something at a good deal. And then Alloy may get a little more for what they were, you know, already giving the consumer or the person that was selling the piece, I should say, a better deal than they would have gotten anywhere else or most other places. So it's a great win-win situation. Sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah. We are incredibly excited about it. We actually were just listed yesterday on U.S. News and World Report's 16 best places to buy and sell your stuff alongside companies like eBay and OfferUp and Poshmark. And so you can kind of see by, you know, and I am extraordinarily grateful and that we made it list, but you can kind of see how our placement amongst that peer set or that competitive set puts us into that marketplace kind of space.
Oh, that's amazing. Congratulations. That's a big deal. Like that's a big
Thank
deal.
You.
We gotta celebrate our entrepreneurs out there for being featured and recognized for your work. Like that's a big deal. Congrats.
That's awesome. Thank you. The team is buzzing about it, so we appreciate it.
Amazing. Well, Brandon, first off, been great having you on the show today. If somebody wants to follow up, learn more about Alloy, follow the Alloy soon to be. You said Alloy Marketplace soon to be. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah. So our full name is
soon to be Mark. So soon to be Alloy Market. I mean, how do people follow? How do people connect?
Yeah, absolutely. So our website is thealloymarket.com, thealloymarket.com. That's a great place to check us out, learn a little bit more about what we do and how we can help.
Amazing. And we'll be sure to put that website link in the show notes so that our audience can just click on the link and head right on over. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or engaging in an episode, we're all about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives and having them share their mission, the reason behind their mission. You know, why do they do what they do? Like what gets them fired up in the morning to go out there and to make a difference? If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or exciting to you, we welcome you. Hit that subscribe button. We have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line, and we don't want you to miss a thing. Brandon, hey, it's so much fun having you on the show, and thanks again.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.